Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, guys, I got verse 9, but let's start at verse 1. I'm just going to start at verse 1, if you can pop up there real quick. Verse 1 through 13. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 13. We're going to emphasize 9 through 13. And we're talking about true spirituality. Because, you know, you don't have to second guess or try to figure out what does it mean to be a spiritual Christian. And our focus is becoming a Romans 12 Christian. And today's emphasis is how to experience authentic community. That's our subject today, how to experience authentic community. But we're going to do a brief review starting at verse 1 through 13. So let's start with verse 1 of Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function or use, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now these are emphasis verses 9 through 13. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Everybody say praise the Lord. So we just a brief review. We talked about when we started this at the beginning of the month, how to become a Romans 12. I really like Romans 12. I like Romans 8 a little bit better. But these are two powerful chapters, I believe, that every Christian needs to get down. You need to get down with Romans 8 because the word spirit is mentioned 22, 23 times. And it tells us many different references in Romans 8 that all answers that you need are in the spirit. So Romans 8 is a powerful chapter. It's probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Romans 8 also tells us that everything gets done by speaking. So faith is so important to our life and lifestyle and walk. So you need to have faith. But Romans 12, to me, is a very practical and instructional chapter because it tells us the how-tos of Christianity. Because some people say, "Well, I know what I may know what to do, but I don't know how to do it." So, how do you do it? I become a true spiritual Christian. Romans 12 outlines it, I believe, very succinctly and very clearly. So, the first point we made is verse 1, which is how to give God what He wants the most. Verse 1 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What does God want the most? He wants all of you. That includes your body. And so we categorize that word as total surrender, or some people don't like the word surrender, total commitment. Surrender or commitment means, God, you got all of me. Every part of me, including my body. Because that's where the flesh tends to manifest and lust against or fight against, tug of war against your spirit. So God wants all of you, not just some part of you. Everybody say total surrender. Total commitment. So that's the first one. That how do we give God what he really wants from us? God, what do you really want from me? Everything. That includes your body. That's your starting point of spiritual worship and devotion to God. Giving God everything. See, when it's not just take Jesus as your Savior and get fire insurance against going to hell. You have to receive him and take him as your Lord. That means he's Lord of all. My spirit, my soul, my body, my money, my family, everything. He's my owner. He's my master. He's my ruler. He's my controller. He's the one who gets to tell me what to do. Isn't that good? All right. The second step was how to receive the very best from God. Because total surrender or total commitment is the channel through which, we said before, God's biggest and best blessings flow. You want God's biggest, God's best? Then give him everything. Now, verse 2 highlights the next how-to, which is what? How to receive God's best. Well, you got to be renewed in your mind. I mean, you got to be not conform, but you got to transform. The biggest and probably the most important responsibility you have as a Christian is to renew your mind. You say, how often do I renew my mind, Pastor? You renew your mind like you comb your hair every morning, and even more so. And I don't have a lot of hair. I just got a haircut yesterday, so there's a little less than what it was. But some of y'all understand hair. You got to deal with it. You got to do it. You got to comb it. You got to brush it. But some people comb and brush their hair and wash their hair more than they renew their mind, and that shouldn't be. So we said the next step, how to receive God's best, is total transformation. Everybody say total transformation. Now, when he says conform, we used the illustration with the kids the other day in here, and this like putting on a mask. When you conform to the world or act, think, and talk like the world, which is run by the devil, the world system, you mask, or masquerade is the word in the Greek reference, or act out, be an actor. You're acting like who you're not, who God called and created you to be. So you act like you're not in Christ. You act like you're in Christ. You put on a mask, and you mask up who you are in Christ. The word transform is the word, Greek word metamorphosis, which comes from the word that means to be, indicates change from the inside out. Everybody say, I'm supposed to change from the inside out. What's the first thing you're supposed to change? Your thinking. You can't think lower thoughts. You got to take the higher thoughts of God, the thoughts that originate from heaven, the thoughts that originate from God, which is the word of God. You got to take that word and replace it. Replace the thoughts that are in your brain that the devil brought in or that you learned from growing up. Unlearn those, exchange those for his, and then be transformed. It's the image of a ugly little hairy slimy caterpillar spinning itself in a cocoon and being metamorphosized or metamorpho, changed into a beautiful butterfly. That means you have to immerse yourself in the word. You have to immerse yourself in the word of God. If you're listening to TV and sports and social media more than you're listening to God, then you're not going to be transformed very well. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to submerge yourself in the Word of God and be transformed, not conformed. Conformed people say, I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to keep up with my social media friends and followers. Thank God for them, but that's not your priority. Are you listening to me? I got to keep up with all my email. I got to keep up with TV shows, the TV series. I even record that stuff. We don't even record the Bible or go back and replay the message. How are we going to be transformed if we put a priority on the world system and not the God system? You got to be so it's got to be total transformation. Amen? All right. Verse 3 tells us the next step. Verse 3 through 8. Verse 3 through 8 tells us the next step. Because he tells us it's going to take faith to keep your mindset and your attitude in check. We said it last week very succinctly. There's two areas of extreme that you can get involved in if you're not paying attention that you've got a measure of the God kind of faith. Number one, we said, you think too highly of yourself. That's pride. You think I'm the big boss of hockey. What is the big deal about thinking too highly of yourself? You think I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's support. I can do it all by myself. And some people will take that old wives' tale. If I can do bad, I can do bad all by myself. Life is not designed for you to live in independence and isolation. It's not oneness or me-ness, just me, myself, and I. It's a we-ness that we have to adopt. We have to adopt a we-ness. We got to realize that we're many parts of the body, and we have different functions and different uses and different offices that we have to stand in. So to think too highly is pride, but to think too lowly is pity. And what's the problem with thinking too lowly? Self-pity means there's not enough people that can really help me in my situation. We basically say this, can't nobody help me. I'm always a victim. I'm never a victor. So you're not to think too highly of yourself or too lowly of yourself. You got to think accurately. He said to think soberly. Look at how many words think is in that verse 3. Think soberly. What does that mean, accurately? Everybody say, I got to think accurately. How do you got to think accurately? You got to think accurately of who you are in Christ. That's accurate. And who you are in the body of Christ. Your place, your grace, your race, your role, your responsibilities. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because if you're driven by eternity, you're going to think that way. But if you're driven by your flesh and the temporary, you're not going to think that way. You're going to gravitate to thinking too high or too low. And what did we say? We said it last week. If you think too highly or you think too lowly of yourself, you always cause, anybody remember? Relational conflict and disunity. If you think too highly of yourself or you think too lowly of yourself, you always cause relational conflict. Disunity. And disunity and conflict affects community, which is what we're getting into now. You can't experience authentic community if you're always in disunity and relational conflict. You know how you go through a week? You know, Paul said it this way in Acts, I've always strived before God to have a clear conscience before God and man. That means I shouldn't have anything going on between me and God, and I don't have anything going on between me and other people. That's why God put a sunset rule, right? He said, be angry, sin not, don't let the sun go down where? On your wrath. In other words, that's a hidden emotion of anger that means something you're holding or harboring in your heart that's not right and not righteous. Because it's not righteous to you, for you to harbor unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, or unresolved anger against someone. You shouldn't go to bed with that stuff in your heart. You shouldn't go to bed with that junk in your trunk. He said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Because, see, that vengeance, that eye toward revenge comes up, and it makes you homicidal or suicidal. That's why it always causes relational conflict and disunity. When you don't know your place, your grace, your race, your role, you begin to become, you compare, you compete, you commend, you get too big in your own eyes, you get too little in your own eyes, and it causes problems. Y'all getting something out of this today? I just warming you up. I'm just giving you a review. All right, let's go back to verse 9. Let's key in on verse 9. Thank you guys for going back there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Listen to it. Cling to what is good. Now, that's some powerful instruction, just that in one verse. Listen to verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now listen, guys, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. The phrase one another is mentioned three times in this section alone. Four or five verses, 9 through 13, one another, which concerns reciprocal relationship. Everybody say reciprocal relationships in the body. So the law of reciprocals tells us simply that where things are negative, the kingdom of God provides equal and opposite positive, but even more so. It's called just general law of reciprocals. So that means in any bad scenario or situation or circumstance, it can always work together and turn around for good. You know, here's a negative statement that people make about church, about the community of the believers, that's not necessarily accurate with scriptures. I can't get along with anybody there. It's too much drama. Well, they choose to make it dramatic, but we can make it delightful if we follow the instructions. He gives us how to in four verses. Is that four verses or five? I can't remember. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Five verses. So he gives us how to in five verses. Isn't that good? Yes. What is the key? Everybody say love is the ultimate key to relationships. So he says, abhor. He said, don't let love be hypocritical. You gotta be real. You can't use agape. I mean, you can't say it's agape when it's only phileo or storge. Abhor, it means to hate extremely or with contempt, to loathe, detest, and abominate. So God hates evil or lawlessness. So those who love the Lord hate evil. So that means I have to posture myself to really hate evil. Now, what do we say? Evil is anything or anyone, listen, that takes you or me away from our God, or them, away from their God-intended purpose and or plan from God. We got to hate the evil that attacks our kids. Because you have people that come into their lives and things that come into their lives that take them away from their God-intended purpose or plan from God. You have to abhor it. couple of Wednesday nights ago, we talked about the love that God hates. God hates when we love the world. But we have to abhor, meaning hate extremely. Why did the Holy Spirit pick that word out? Guys, ladies, get a clue. He wants us to loathe and with contempt to detest and abominate and hate extremely things that cause evil. And those who love the Lord hate evil. Believers are not to hate evil people, because that's where they get off again. All the breaking news and pop-up stuff that comes, we end up hating a person that we don't really know. People hate political leaders because of things that the news has told them. But we're not supposed to hate people, even if they're evil. But what do we hate, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You have to hate the evil that controls and corrupts their lives. In the context of community and church, you got to hate the evil that's coming against that person to the point to where you do something about it out of love. And when you see somebody slip or drift in pride or into selfishness, we know that's based in hatred. So the devil's got them drinking a gallon of Haterade every morning. Look, 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 look. And they had nails for breakfast. And so they walk around and they start spitting fire and nails at people. We know that's evil. You don't hate that person for that. Oh, they drunk Haterade this morning. Oh, I don't want to be around them. That's not instruction. He said, don't have fake love. See, the thing people don't like is tough love. Love comes first, but love sometimes is tough. We're going to get in a ditch with you. Come on now. You got to forgive. You got to let that go. I'm gonna spend an hour a day. I'm going to miss a meal and fast and pray for you. They don't even know it. But you're going against what? That evil. But it's so easy to be like the world and talk about that person. And they ran off the reservation. I don't know why they just going off the track, run off the rails. And it's easy to talk about them, and that's evil. Because James tells us what? Speak evil, no evil of the brethren. And that word evil, or speaking evil, is the word slander, which is also the Greek word referenced sometimes as diabolos. It means you become a partner or a part of the devil's work. You become a tool of the devil when you put your tongue against somebody else. They may be a baby child of God, but we can destroy authentic community because our love is fake and phony. We're hypocritical. We say we love them, but we lash our tongue at them. Y'all got really quiet on me. Come on now. All right. So he says, in honor, giving preference to one another, it simply means truly loves another person. If someone truly loves another person with the love of God, they will pursue what is best for them, even if it's costly. So when you talk about sacrifice and selflessness, these are ingredients of true love. When you talk about what I did for them and what I've done for them, you're keeping records. The love of God doesn't keep records. It doesn't hold it over your kids how many times you bailed them out and brought them up from a pit, out of a pit. Why are you thinking that way? Why are you talking like that? Amen. True love doesn't bring up to their siblings what I've done for you and what I've always rescued you from this. Well, praise God. Y'all got real quiet right now. Let me keep moving. See, gifts are not simply for people's enjoyment, but they're good for the church, for the good of the church. Why are you doing it? Because you want the church to experience church experience to have, enjoy authentic community. Look at what Romans 12:10 in the Passion translation. Romans 12:10, be devoted, listen to this, and to tenderly love your fellow believers as members of one family. Listen, try to outdo yourselves with respect and honor to one another. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. You talking about a competition that you're supposed to be in? Now write these four things down, because I'm going to give you what authentic community when it occurs. Authentic community occurs when, number one, everybody ready? The real you, verse 9, that's the scripture we just read. The real you meets real needs, verse 10. Number 3, for the right reasons, verse 11. Number 4, in the right way, verse 12 and 13. Everybody say it with me. The real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. Now let's read the real you. Break that down a little bit. The real you is who you are in Christ. It's not you thinking too highly of yourself, being prideful. It's and being selfish. It's not you thinking too lowly of yourself in self-pity, being low-minded and self-centered, self-absorbed, because you can't think about anybody else but me. That's not the real you. When you any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, but all things. So you ever notice when people get in conversation, they quickly turn it to who? Themselves. That's not the real you all the time. When you quickly turn it to yourself. You got to be interested in others and in the needs and the well-being of others. Look at the verse again, verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Don't just pretend. He said really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. So here's the authenticity. He said, let love be sincere, or let love be without hypocrisy. That first phrase of that verse. And then purity. Hate what is wrong, evil. Cling or hold tightly to what is good. These are action items that we must take and participate in to create a scenario where the real you shows up. Who you are in Christ, who you are, meets real needs. Look at this, verse 10 in the New Living. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight. Another, get happy about it. Enjoy doing it. In doing what? In honoring each other. In the Passion Translation, we said, be devoted and tenderly loving. So devotion is the first thing about needs. That means I'm doing this because I really want to bless you. I really want to benefit you. I really want to build great things in your life. I'm not contributing to your downfall or your demise. I'm committed to your delight and your devotion. You know, people get really excited when people are really into them and really interested in them, in their well-being. In that community? Now, we experienced that in Louisiana when we go. I was talking to my wife last night. We were having dinner. And so we were talking about it. I said, man, we really got an example of authentic community there. Because when we go, everybody's not lording over you with what their accomplishments and their accolades are. And everybody's wearing their, you know, big, bold pride shirts and clothes and saying how much they've accomplished and what they've done. They're genuinely interested in you and connecting with you. That's authentic community at its finest. And whether the guy has a big church or a small church, it doesn't matter. We sit down and they share, and they're very love focus, and honor focus in being a blessing. Amen. Every time we took our grandson, they always blessed the grandson. Took out their wallet or purse, gave him money. Every time. He didn't go with us because he's in school now, in kindergarten. But you think about authentic community. Be devoted. Being devoted. Being a blessing to others. You think about you, even yourself. When you know when times when you're thinking really selfish or independent or isolated, you don't reach out. You don't give out. You don't even call out and say, hey, how you doing? You're on my mind. You're on my heart. Everybody here this morning? Because everybody needs encouragement. Some of you may think the pastor doesn't need encouragement. The pastor does need encouragement. That's why we make those trips, because they're so encouraging. Amen. So reading meal needs is devotion, honor, and humility. It's to take delight in honoring each other. Or in the passion we read, try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Is that happening? No, when you're not in community, when you have relational conflict and disunity, which is the result of thinking too high or thinking too low, you don't have that. You have the opposite of that. It's always combative. You can find yourself always complaining. And you have these broken relationships and relational schisms that earmark your life. You're going through a circular life of drama and trauma. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's not meeting real needs, because God knows you need relationships, but you also need fellowship. For the right reason. Number three, Romans 12:11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. They're doing what? Serving others. Being a blessing to others. We should not work harder on our job than we do our kingdom assignment and vocation. You've got an office. You've got gifts. You've got callings. You've got to do that with more enthusiasm and engagement than you do your natural job or your natural responsibilities. Laziness is not a good deal. Why did he call that one talent, Christian, thou wicked and lazy or slothful servant? Now, I can see if he called him wicked, but he also tagged in lazy. Because he never did nothing with what God gave him, the Lord gave him. The Lord gave him a talent to use it. And we say some people lose it and don't use it or misuse it, their gifts and talents, for themselves. For the right reason. Look, don't be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. It means motive. You're not lagging behind in diligence, fervent spirit. And then method. What is your motive coming to church? What is your method? See, genuine service to God is characterized by diligence, excellence, and enthusiasm. That means I got to work harder in the Lord and for the things of the Lord. And you even think about area, all your areas, your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Four areas. We all should be working hard. Time was what? God told us through the New Testament scriptures twice, redeem the times. That means I don't waste time doing a whole bunch of stuff I want and what I need. I get more time by giving my time to God for what he wants and what he needs. Because if the devil can't make you bad, What does he do? He makes you busy. I don't have time to do what? Serve the Lord or work for the Lord. That's why sometimes volunteerism is an all-time low. People say, I'm too busy to volunteer. And what are they basically saying? I don't want to serve. I don't have time to serve with my time. And then talent, meaning everybody's got a gift. And everybody, the gifts of callings of God, Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Irreversible. You can't change it. You got what you got. It was God's idea, not yours. He said, this is the best thing of grace I put inside of you. My plan, my power, my purpose. The gift of God in you. What do you got to do? Stir it up. You can't neglect it. But instead of people enjoying their gifts and using their gifts to serve others, they misuse it or don't use it. That's your talent. Your treasure is your money. What do you do with your money? Serve God with it. Use your money to help bring people into the kingdom through salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With your money. But many people get funny about their money. This is all I can afford. This is all I want to give. And the Lord said in Luke chapter 16, this is the least of your faithful level. Your money tells the truth about your heart and your heart condition. So some people say, I don't want to give anymore. Oh, we give enough. Haven't we given enough? Would we ever say that to God when he chose us his son and shed blood? How could we say we've given enough when he's given so much? That treasure means, Lord, whatever you need, I got it. And so if we said it before, again, I'm quoting my spiritual mentor, Mark Hankins. He said, if you get addicted to giving, God supports your habit. Because you can't beat God giving. And it's one of the big requirements to live under an open heaven. Giving and forgiving. Are y'all here today? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. So your message has to be diligent. Your testimony has to be diligent. That means I've got to share my story of transformation from Christ and by Christ with the world around me. We shouldn't get too busy or bothered or caught up in our own business that we never open our mouth and tell them, look what the Lord has done for me. I want to tell you about how God changed my life, how the Lord changed my life. Everybody say time, talent, treasure, testimony. And then in the right way. Look at this. Romans 12:12-13. Rejoice, New Living Translation, in our confident hope. Be patient in what? You can't become impatient. Every one of us is going to experience trouble. But impatience is just an indication of immaturity and your irritation of spiritual, you know, just rebellion that, hey, I don't want to go through trouble. I don't want to deal with people who are in trouble. He said, be patient in trouble and keep on what? Come on, y'all slowing down on me. Keep on praying. I'm sorry, I said keep on praying. So 2023, when we move into October, every one of us should be praying bigger and better. Praying bigger and better. Why? I need you to, and the Lord needs you to. You need to pray bigger. See, it's just not to show up to God and say, here's my list. Here's my list. When you pray bigger and better, you say, God, where's your list? In other words, I just don't pray to God. I pray for God. Hallelujah. See, when God's people are in need, be ready. Everybody say, be ready. What's that song, that football song? I think it was Remember the Titans? You didn't say a Washington movie. I like some of those movies. So anyway, they were saying, be ready, be ready. I don't know if that's the right words. Not good, but be ready. Are you ready to help people? You know, one of the old, he's in heaven today, Apostle Buddy Harrison used to say, you always carry money in your pocket to be a blessing and to be giving. Be ready to help people. Keith Moore said that he was there on the front row. Somebody had just blessed him with a $50. He needed some shoes, and the Holy Spirit says, give that $50 to that minister. This is way back in the 80s, early 80s, when you could buy shoes for $50. And today, I don't know. It's a little different. So anyway. And so he's wrestling with the Lord all at the front row. He's all dressed to the nines. That's old school terms for some of you younger folks. But he's dressed to the nines. He's dapped up. He said, man, he don't need any shoes. And I'm a student in Bible college, and you're going to ask me for my $50 that I just got. I'm excited about it. But everybody say, be ready. You got to be ready. See, all the money that comes in your hands is not for your own hand. So he gave him the $50, and he brought it over to his wife, the minister did, as he finished his teaching and whatnot. And they were rejoicing because he said just that morning they just agreed and prayed for some money for some brown shoes. A little simple prayer. God met that need, but he used Brother Keith Moore, Pastor Keith Moore, in that front row, he used him as a channel. That's like, be ready. Everybody say, be ready. Be ready to be a blessing. Be ready to be a distributor to those in need. Don't just think about your grocery list, going through HEB, Walmart, you know, whatever you, Albertsons, Kroger, wherever you shop. Don't just be thinking about you. Think about somebody else around you. Be ready. Amen. To help them, God's people that are in need. So he did. He said, then a few times later, I don't know how much time later, but he said he was in a store looking at shoes, expensive shoes, nice shoes. You know, ones with the exotic skins and stuff on them. And a man comes up to him and says, here, get everything you want. Hand him his credit card. Get as much as you want. He said, I bought 10 pair of shoes. Now, did he need 10 pair of shoes? No. But God told him, that was because of your obedience to help with that $50. He walked out of the store with 10 pair of shoes. And didn't have to pay one dime for it. Somebody say hallelujah. He says, always be ready to practice what? Eager to practice hospitality. Hospitality begins in your heart. Now, if you never open your heart, you'll never open your home. Woo-wee! Some people even struggle. Well, should I let them in? Should I let them in? What's your heart? Don't let them in if your heart's all hard. You don't cause problems. Keep your heart open. Keep your heart open. Amen. Some people even do that in church. Well, I don't know if I want them coming here. I want them Keep your heart open. Woo-wee. Come on, y'all. Stand to your feet. I think that's enough for you guys to handle today. I just got half the sermon done, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, would you? Thank you, Jesus. Y'all get something out of that today? See, if we can't...